You're listening to From the Archives, where we uncover the best stories from NHPR's past. I'm Eric Larrabee. The conversation around early childhood education in New Hampshire today is often focused on the availability of half-day versus full-day kindergarten programs. Governor Maggie Hassan weighed in when she spoke to NHPR in May.
Full-day kindergarten would be a very important next step in making sure our young people have the kind of education that really prepares them for the 21st century global economy.
However, kindergarten here was not guaranteed until a 2007 law mandating public programs statewide, making New Hampshire the last state in the nation to fully adopt public kindergarten.
The literacy demands, the educational demands of our society keep going up and up and up. We need to be better educated than we ever were before. And when you find something that shows a long-term positive effect on quality of education, I think it makes good sense to go with it.
Dr. Helen Shotanis, speaking to NHPR in 1990, when she was New Hampshire's early education curriculum supervisor. Back then, only 54% of school districts offered kindergarten. And while many families could afford private programs, nearly a third of the state's children attended no kindergarten at all. For many, especially New Hampshire's low-income families, the educational opportunity gap has existed for decades. From the archives this week, we take a look at the state of kindergarten in New Hampshire in 1990. NHPR's Kathy McLaughlin reports.
He's a tiger on Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, tiger?
Yeah, T-I-double-G-E-R.
14 5-year-olds are busy at play in this kindergarten class at the Harrisville Center School. It's the kind of play, educational experts would say, builds the social and developmental skills needed to prepare the children for the following year, when they enter the first grade. But quite often, 5-year-olds in New Hampshire go without kindergarten. New Hampshire is the only state in the country that doesn't mandate public kindergarten, and just 83 out of the 154 school districts in the state offered it this year. Local school officials say it's not that they don't want public kindergarten, it's just that they can't afford it. Take the Conval School District in the Monadnock region. It has considered a public kindergarten proposal 4 times in the past and recently rejected it a 5th time. Instead of spending $300,000 to add kindergarten, the district is now facing a budget crunch and has to cut more than $600,000. Peterborough Selectman Charles Leadham says taxpayers in his area are strapped.
Kindergarten would only cost approximately $40 per year per average household. Okay. But slightly change a fairly famous quote, $40 here and $40 there, and pretty soon it adds up to real money.
But supporters of kindergarten, like Conval School Board member Mary Clark of Dublin, say money is not the only reason many school districts, including her own, have not approved public kindergarten.
I think the other factor is a sort of a very New Hampshire kind of an attitude. You know, we live in New Hampshire for a reason, live free or die. You know, we'll do what we want. Everybody else may have kindergarten. Well, by God, we're not gonna. You know, and I think there's a real... That attitude is really here. We didn't have it. Why should our kids have it? We don't need this. You know, everybody else does, but they're all just complicating their lives.
Half a star. That's right. What are you going to do, Stephen? We need to find something to do until we're ready to go home. What would you like to do until then? You want to look at a book?
Kindergarten is not a new educational concept. It originated in Germany in the 1840s and was soon afterward brought to the United States. The first public kindergarten was established in St. Louis, Missouri, in the late 1800s, and by the 1950s and 1960s, most states had mandated public kindergarten. Studies on both low-income and high-income families show that those who attend kindergarten are more likely to complete high school, score higher on standardized tests, place a higher value on learning, and place a higher value on occupational success. Dr. Helen Shotanis is the Early Education Curriculum Supervisor for the state of New Hampshire.
The literacy demands, the educational demands of our society keep going up and up and up. In the last century, a person was considered literate if they could write their name. And a person being able to write their name is certainly not functional literacy for today's world. We need to be better educated than we ever were before, each and every one of us and as a whole. And when you find something that shows a long-term positive effect on quality of education, I think it makes good sense to go with it.
Roughly one-third of New Hampshire's youngsters attend public kindergarten. Roughly one-third go to private kindergarten at a cost of up to $3,000 a year. And a little less than a third attend no kindergarten at all. Professor Bruce Mallory is chairman of the University of New Hampshire's Education Department.
Children from middle-class families who have the opportunity to buy kindergarten enter first grade in good shape, and they carry that experience with them through their educational career, and they don't drop out from high school, and they go on to higher education and so on. What about the 20%? Do we as a state, not just as individual communities, but do we as a state have an obligation to the 20% or 10% or even 2% of families that can't afford kindergarten and therefore disenfranchised by this market-based kindergarten system that we have in New Hampshire right now?
Some districts offer what are commonly referred to as readiness or transition programs. Six-year-olds are tested prior to entering first grade, and if they are deemed unfit developmentally, they spend a year in readiness. These children, therefore, are older than their peers when they finally enter first grade, and experts say they're often stigmatized as being slower intellectually than their classmates. Dr. Shotanis and others argue that readiness is too often substituted in school districts for kindergarten.
I think the evidence is real clear that when we have limited resources, and of course all school districts have limited resources, that it makes sense to be providing a kindergarten program rather than a readiness program. And if a district has 40%, 50% of their youngsters going into a readiness program, it would be possible to provide quality public kindergarten without any additional classrooms or without any additional teachers, which means without any additional cost to the district.
In the latest round of school district meetings, the towns of Harrisville, Barnstead, Pittsfield, and Marlborough voted in kindergarten. But in other districts which faced budget cuts, like Franklin, Claremont, Laconia, and Thornton, kindergarten was eliminated. Kindergarten supporters say it's not very likely that the state will mandate public kindergarten soon because of its political system. Under state law, the legislature can't mandate programs at the local level without providing the necessary funding. A statewide kindergarten program would cost more than $23 million, according to the most recent estimates. And supporters say without some sort of radical change in the state's tax structure, coming up with those dollars would be next to impossible. For WEVO, I'm Kathy McLaughlin.
Golden star, me a name I call myself, far a long way to run.
Believe it or not, the debate around public kindergarten continued for another 17 years after Kathy's story. A 2007 law required towns to begin offering public kindergarten by 2009, and since then, full-day kindergarten has slowly been spreading around the state. For more about early childhood education in New Hampshire, check out the NHPR news series, The First Decade, at nhpr.org. And for more captivating stories from New Hampshire's past, be sure to visit our blog as well. I'm Eric Larrabee, and this is From the Archives.